Thinking about being here, blessed to be here over a year now, and thinking about subjects that I've yet to cover, subjects that are needed, that we're dealing with, whether you're the oldest in the congregation or one of the youngest in the little ones. There's topics that we just need to talk about. Some of them are moral issues, and one of them has got to be the modern dance. We've got to sometimes address the modern dance because it is everywhere. For the past, at least as long as I've been alive, 28 years, this has been a fad, this idea of dancing. You think about the music industry and Whitney Houston, back around the time I was born, coming out with the song, I Want to Dance with Somebody. I remember in the 90s, I had a, I'm not a big country music fan now, but I liked country music when I was younger. I remember the song Dina Carter had that was out, that we danced anyway, if you remember that song. And in around 2006, about a decade ago, Michael Bublé came out with that song. What was the name of it? I had to write these down. Save the Last Dance for me. I haven't heard that song, but they're everywhere. And Lady Gaga comes out within the last half a decade or so, comes out with the song Just Dance. And as I even yesterday, as I was coming home from the from Lakeside congregation, on the radio I was flipping through and I heard a song and something about this lady apparently pulls the guy out on the dance floor, and it caught my attention. So because of this lesson, I listened to it a minute, and it was basically close your mouth and dance, in essence. That was a nicer way to put it than what he actually said in the song. But apparently Walk the Moon is the name of the band. I looked it up, and it's everywhere. You think about the television. Fox has the show So You Think You Can Dance. ABC is boasting well over 20 million viewers of the show Dancing with the Stars. I see that advertised all the time. I'm sure you've heard of that. There, it is everywhere. It's a big deal. It's a fact, and everybody deals with it. If you're working public at all in the secular world, there, you've got invitations to parties, and at these parties, this type of dancing, this modern dance, is going on. The teens are dealing with it. They're invited to school dances, to the prom, one of the most renowned dances of all time. Everybody is told, all the young people are told, they've got to go and experience their prom. It's such a big deal. It's like a wedding day, right? They got to go out and pick out the dress or the tux and all that, and it's such a special occasion, and all of these dance-related things being pushed on us. And I want to make sure you understand, when I say the modern dance, the hokey pokey is not the modern dance. I'm not talking about the hokey pokey. That's fine. I'm not addressing that. You can do the hokey pokey all you want to. I'm not talking about line dancing and, you know, or that where they have the shoes and they do that to the music. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. I'm talking about the modern dance, this bumping kind of activity, this bodies being pressed together stuff that's going on. That's what I'm talking about this morning. Before we get into some reasons biblically why it's wrong, I want to talk about the difference between those two kinds of dances. Even biblically, in the word dance, dancing, danced, the variations of it, are used about 27 times in the Bible that I can find. And they're used in two different senses. There is that dancing that isn't sinful dancing. That's more of a celebratory dance. In fact, I would call it celebration dancing. All right, and that's addressed and that's talked about, not in a negative sense, but for example, 2 Samuel 6, verses 14 to 16. We read there about David and the Israelites. They're bringing in the ark, and it's kind of almost a bit humorous to me because it doesn't seem to indicate in these passages that everybody's dancing. Israel's playing music, they're moving the cart, they're shouting, they're yelling, they're probably singing. But there's one man in particular that just seems to be dancing and having a celebratory dance at this time, and that's King David. In fact, he's seen and despised by one in this particular story. But this is a dance that's a shouting. It's an excitement. This is not the dance that we're talking about. This is a dance that is certainly acceptable. Have you ever jumped up for joy or got excited about something that took place, or maybe you just for a moment decided to do a jig, as I call it, right? Because you were so excited. That's all right. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about something a little different. Another example, Exodus 15 and verse 20. You see the word, when Miriam was leading Israel, after they crossed over the Red Sea and they're celebrating, they're singing the song of Moses. Miriam's leading that song and they have timbrels and they're dancing. They're excited. They're celebrating. Right, that's one use of it. But this other one, to stick with the C's here, I would call it the club dancing, the modern dance. This is the dance that we're talking about this morning, that we're revealing and discussing biblically as being an issue. as being ungodly, a dance that Satan would enjoy us to participate in. Right? Exodus 32 and verse 19 is an example of this kind of dance. When Moses comes down from the mount, and you might miss this when you're reading through the chapter, because the focus is on the fact that they had created this golden calf. And when he comes down the mountain, the Bible says that he saw the calf and the dancing. A lot of times you might look over that. He saw the calf, but he also saw the dancing. In other words, the dancing that was associated with that calf, right? The dancing that we're talking about, this lascivious dancing, this the sensual dancing that we're discussing, that was going on. It was contrary to God's will. It was not pleasing. It was that club dancing, you might say. Right? I'm sure it was a little different. I'm sure it wasn't the same. I don't know. I don't know exactly what kind of dance it was, but it was not appropriate in God's sight. It was idolatrous. The dancing that took place in Matthew 14 and verse 6, we're going to turn here a little later and talk more about it. But when Herodias' daughter danced before Herod, that's the kind of dancing that we're talking about this morning, an ungodly dancing. Not a celebratory dance, but more of this sensual club type of dancing that we're talking about. So when you're reading in the Bible, it's not always viewed in a negative sense, because it's not always talked about in that club dancing, as we might call it. I want to give you three reasons, time permitting, three reasons why dancing, the modern dance, is sinful, to be blunt. Why it's contrary to God's will, why we have no business participating in the modern dance. Three reasons. Number one, the most obvious probably of the three, is because of the biblical concept and discussion of lasciviousness. And that's not a word we use every day. You probably didn't come home from work yesterday or get out of bed and start having a conversation about lascivious activity. That's just not a word that we use. And so as you look at the different definitions, and there's a lot of different variations of this word, but here are the basic tenets of this word. You could define it, some translations say lewdness. Some say, or don't say this, but this is the definition of it, I should say. Indecent bodily movements is the idea. Indecency from Vine's Expository Dictionary. Unchaste handling of males and females. Arousing lust. Now, I want you to think about those four things. Indecent bodily movements, unchaste handling of males and females, arousing lust. What is the best modern English word that we could think of or activity that would be described in those three ways? There's no doubt about it. It's the modern dance. Movements of the body that are not appropriate, that a man and a woman have no business participating in before marriage. Unchaste handling of the opposite sex, and in today, the same sex as well. It's all inappropriate, right? Or the arousing, the enticement that is there. Galatians 5:19-21, and the word lascivious is used several times in the New Testament, in the King James Version of the Bible. And in Galatians 5:19-21, there's a list, the works of the flesh. There's a lot of in that list. The first four, interestingly, are all connected. They're all related. They're cousins, if you will, brothers and sisters to one another. You've got the word adultery, right? That fornication, which is specifically being unfaithful to a spouse. Then you've got the word fornication, porneo, which is more of a broad term, and more all-inclusive there. You've got the word uncleanness, number three, and then the word lasciviousness. And there's where that word comes in. That's what he's talking about. You don't actually have to go all the way, as the young people say, and adults alike. You don't have to go all the way in order to commit a sin. Lasciviousness is the prerequisite, you might say, to some degree of some of the other activities that might take place. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse number 19. Ephesians 4, verse number 19. We're going to be actually reading through this again in our Bible class, but for this study, I want you to notice something he says about this word that I want you to hold on to. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. These unconverted Gentiles, right, they are past feeling. They're numb to feeling, to their conscience. And he says they've given themselves completely over to this lasciviousness, that word that we're talking about, to work all uncleanness with greediness. The word there for greediness, when you see that word, we normally think of money. And it's associated, rightly so, with that. You want more of it. You just constantly need more. But he's not talking about money. He's talking about the attitude and the mind when it comes to this activity of lasciviousness. When you're participating in lascivious activities, you're going to be greedy for more. You're going to desire more. Now, I want you to hold that thought in your mind. It's going to lead us to the next point here. Number one, it's wrong because of the fact that we're violating God's law about lasciviousness, but also because of the lust factor. The lust factor. And adults, I'm keeping this as, I realize we have an all ages, I'll keep this as G-rated as we can, of course. You know what lust is. And when we think about lust, most of the time we associate it with human beings, with man and female. But the word lust isn't just connected only with that concept. Right? Adam and Eve, you think about Eve, she lusted after the apple. Right? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, both were going on. She wanted to eat the apple. Right? That wasn't a sensual lust, right? The word lust just literally means to intensely desire something. Lust, listen to me, lust in and of itself is not sinful. The word lust in its generic form, that's not sinful, right? If it was, then a man could not lust after his spouse. Lust itself, that's not the sin. In fact, James chapter 1 explains this. Everyone is tempted when he's drawn away by his own lust and enticed. And lust, when it's conceived, bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Right? Lust leads to sin. But lust in and of itself isn't always inherently sinful. But in this particular topic, when we're talking about this kind of lust, this is probably the most dangerous of all. It is, and very quickly, immediately almost leads to sin. In fact, Matthew 5:28 is where Jesus says, if a man looks after a woman to lust in his heart, he's already committed adultery in his heart. He is, by his own thinking, by thinking those thoughts, he sinned against God because he's mentally, internally committed adultery on his spouse. Right? That's the power of lust. And so the problem with dancing is that it entices us to think evil thoughts. It causes us to lust, which immediately leads to thoughts that are sinful. All right, are you with me? I hope that's making some sense. Let's turn in our Bibles to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. I referenced Herodias' daughter. Let's actually read it this time. And notice a very, very interesting word. Mark chapter 6, excuse me, verse 21. Mark chapter 6, verse 21. And when a convenient day was come, that Herod, on his birthday, made a supper to his lords, high captains and chief estates of Galilee. And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. Why did Herod... Why was he willing to even give John's head, as you recall, on a platter, if you will, on a silver platter, as we sometimes say, why was he willing to do that just by watching this female dance? If you notice that word in verse 22, the word pleased, the Greek word there means to be pleased and excited with emotion. It can be lots of different emotions. The word is used in a lot of different senses. But you and I both know, adults, what emotion is going on here. He is enticed. He is lusting after her because of the way she's dancing. Let me ask you a question. We know that this is sinful. We know that this is wrong, what happened here. But would it be better if Herod had gotten up and danced with her? Of course not. That would have been even worse if he had actually handled her in that situation. That's what dancing is. He didn't even have to touch her to feel those emotions and to think something he should not have thought. So why in the world would we think that a man and a woman can do that together, placing their bodies together and not think things that they ought not, especially the man? I can't speak for women. I don't know. I know that we're programmed a little differently. But I know for a man that he is not going to be able to do that without thinking thoughts that he shouldn't. In fact, to prove that point more, 44 young men were asked their feelings when they danced with a girl. 41 of 44 said that they thought about taking it further, adults. They thought about going all the way. In their mind, when they participated in the modern dance. 41 out of 44. What is that, around 93 or so percent maybe. 1,500 men were sat down, 1,500, and were asked, who can dance without any evil thought, without a single one? Guess how many of those men raised their hands? Zero. 1,500 men were sat down and not a single one of them raised their hand, and it would have been a lie if they had. Not a single one of them did it and said, I can dance like that with a female and not have thoughts that I shouldn't. It's interesting though, because people still argue this. They'll argue it to the grave in some cases. It's sad. But the preacher, it's just not the way it is. There is not a lust factor when it comes to that type of dancing. The school dances and stuff, I just don't believe. Well, let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard of a school dance, or would it be appropriate for the school to have all the boys dance together in the gym and all the girls to dance together in the cafeteria? What kind of school dance would that be? You know that would be the end of that right then and there. That's not going to happen, right? Would it be okay to have a devotional here? If you feel so strongly, and I'm not saying that you do, but if someone's thinking to themselves there's not a lust factor, would you feel comfortable with the modern dance taking place here at a youth devotional? Would you split up the boys and girls? Let me ask you this. Excuse me. How many of you, by show of hands, have ever heard of a father-daughter dance? You've heard of that, and right? And that in and of itself is innocent. A father and daughter, there's not an issue there. But even as innocent as that is, how many of you have ever heard of a father-son dance? Me either. Why is that? That's awkward. That's uncomfortable. It's not the way. Why? Because it's something that you do with the opposite sex. Even as innocent as that would be, no father and son are going to go and have a father-son dance. It's just, why? Because it's something that's associated with the opposite sex. Because of the thoughts and the things that come to mind. Nothing against fathers and daughters dancing. Nothing against that. Right? I'm talking about, though, this principle that you're not going to have a father-son dance. And we understand why that is. One last thought. Leave it with you. Number three. Not only because of lasciviousness, not only because of the fact that it arouses lust and evil thoughts, but also because it leads to other sins. If you're here this morning and those two points were not enough to convince you to stay away from it and to convince you that it in and of itself is sinful to dance in that way with the opposite sex that you're not married to, if that's not enough and you still think it's innocent, even if it was, you've still got this issue that it's associated with so many other sins. Some passages to consider. Proverbs beginning 5 and verse 8. Proverbs 5 and verse 8. Solomon tells his son, when addressing this woman of a prostitute, seems to be the implication based on the context. He says, when it comes to this woman that's enticing you to do things that you shouldn't or to think bad thoughts, he says, don't even be in the house with her. Don't come near to the door, literally is how it's worded. King James Version, nigh to the door. Don't do it. Don't even be in the house with her. Don't even go to the doorstep. The Bible emphasizes staying as far away as we can from sin. It never indicates at all that it's wise in any way for you to get as close as you can to the sin without committing it. Right? If you want to say that dancing is not wrong, and it is wrong, but if you wanted to argue that, think about how close you are to all the other sins associated with it. The New Testament teaches the same. 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee fornication. Not get close to it as long as you don't commit it. Flee it. Run away from it. I think about Joseph. You have to think of Joseph when you think of this passage. Joseph and Potiphar's wife. And it's so interesting to me because over and over again, she asked him to lay with her. Lay with me, Joseph. Lay with me, Joseph. Lay with me, Joseph. But there's a unique instance. There's a time in which nobody else is in the house. Apparently in the past, there had been other folks there and it was public and there was accountability. But this time there wasn't. And there was nobody in the house, and she is a little more aggressive than usual. And you remember what he does. He didn't try to talk her out of it. He didn't stay and just have a little dance with her or something and just try to, you know, just go a little way. And just not. You know, he didn't do any of that. He didn't even let her touch him. He took his coat off, dropped it, and headed out. He literally ran, right? And that may sound humorous to picture that, but there is a great Bible example there. Flee it. Joseph was smart. It's a female. He's a male. It's a temptation. He knows I need to get out of Dodge because nobody else is here to hold me accountable. And I'm not going to sin against Potiphar himself, and I'm certainly not going to sin against God, he would say. 1 Peter 2:11, He warns us against the fleshly lust that war against the soul, that make it difficult for you to fleshly, to physically be faithful to God. Don't get as close to those things as you can. Peter 4 and verse 3, turn here. I believe this is the last passage I will ask you to turn to for this lesson. 1 Peter 4. Really beginning in verse 1. Verse 3 is kind of a key passage, but let's begin in verse 1. 1 Peter 4, verse 1. For as much then, read it with me, as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Now I want you to think about this. This word lascivious, this word lust, this is really a summary of everything that we just talked about. And I want you to notice the other sins associated with this term. For the time past our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. When we walked in lasciviousness, the first word he says, lusts, the second word. Now look at the next one. Excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, New King James Version, drinking parties there. And abominable idolatries. Notice the things, and it's true today just as it was in the first century. Notice what is associated with lasciviousness, with the modern dance, as we would call it. That's literally the practice of lasciviousness. He talks about lust. He talks about alcohol. True or false? You don't have to say it out loud, but think it, and I know what the answer is. Alcohol is normally associated with the modern dance. The clubs, the parties, the activities. When you're doing that dance, even the prom. Parents, you don't want to think about it, but it's the fact. I remember, I don't know how the kids are doing it now, but a decade ago, I remember prom. I did not go, but I remember that the kids, the boys, I remember them, they had water bottles, and they filled those water bottles with vodka, right? I believe that's what it was. It was a clear alcoholic substance. I believe that's. And they put it in, and so they come in with their water bottles, and they drank some water as they danced, even at the prom that's going on. It's associated with it, not to mention the immodesty connected with the modern dance and what and how people are dressed, how they're clad when that activity is going on. Right? There's so much more we could talk about, but let me end with this thought about prom for a moment, if I may. I haven't talked about prom, and probably in the spring, Lord willing, we may talk about it some more. But this activity, it's interesting to me that they have this activity that they know they need lots of chaperones for. They need a lot of chaperones. But even as many chaperones and eyes as you have, you don't always see everything that goes on. The kids are going to get away with stuff. They just are. There's too many of those kids. They outnumber you. But all that aside, why in the world would you want your children to participate in an activity that needs that many chaperones anyways? We don't use proper reasoning sometimes or logic with these things. Right, I want to go get some photos made. I just want to spend some time there and be with my friends. I get that. But you cannot control what's going on around you or what goes on before or after that prom either. It's just best, brethren, it's just best to avoid getting that close to these sinful occasions. We just need to stay away from it. It leads to other sins. The temptation to drink alcohol. The temptation to lust. The temptation to go farther than the modern dance, which in and of itself is sinful. A couple of quotes that I have for you, and I'll leave it with you. Paul Southern, who is a member of, works with Lucasfilm, many of you are probably familiar with. Paul Southern wrote, "Dancing is like building a fire under a tea kettle and daring the water to boil." A lot of truth to that for men. Mick Jagger, the lead singer, lead vocalist, and founder of the Rolling Stones, said, "Dancing is a replacement for you-know-what." Dr. Lita Hollingsworth said, "Dancing excites the you-know-what impulse. It is active, she said, and she's a psychologist, by the way. That impulse for you-know-what, that desire, can even be triggered in children as young as 11 years old that participate in the modern dance. That's a scary thing, and it's unfortunate that things like the hokey pokey have been ruined and turned into such an awful thing. You want to dance at home with your spouse? Do that. That's wonderful. You want to do a dance in the privacy of your home as you exercise? Do that. That's wonderful. You want to do the hokey pokey or whatever? That's fine. But this participating in this kind of dance with bodies together with a person that's not your spouse, we need to stay away from it. We don't need to get near it. We don't need to participate in it. We don't need to condone it in any way. Friends, it's a tool of Satan, and we need to understand that. It's a device of his, and we need to do everything in our power to keep away from it, keep our children away from it, grandchildren away from it, all of the above. If you're here this morning, we haven't talked about God's plan for saving man, but we have talked about something that can keep you away from that salvation, something that Satan can use to lead you away. And maybe you're a Christian here this morning. The majority in this room are, and maybe you've been enticed. Maybe it's a different type of lust. Maybe you've been enticed to view something that you shouldn't on the television or on the computer. Maybe you've been enticed to say something you shouldn't, to think something you shouldn't, any and all of the above. Whatever Satan can get you to commit, that sin, whatever it might be, you've got to repent of it. Turn away from that. Confess it, and we would love to pray with you and for you and assist you in that this morning. Maybe you've never become a child of God. If you don't know how to become a Christian, we would love to study that with you if you have questions. But let me just remind you, for those of you maybe who've been studying, it's a plan that's easy to understand. You've got to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, right? You learn about Him, and that's where that faith comes from, Romans 10:17. And that faith leads you to want to make changes. That's repentance. I don't want to live in this world anymore. I don't want to take place or to take part in lascivious activities. I want to turn away from those sins and live for Him. That's repentance. And to confess with your mouth that you believe Jesus is the Son of God, something you'll do for the rest of your life as a faithful child of God. And to be baptized in water for the remission of sins. The water's here right now. It's ready, and we'll immerse you. The baptizo, that's what the word means, to die, to be immersed with Christ, to come up out of His grave, spiritually speaking, and to be a new creature. To have all the sins, all the lascivious activity, whatever it is, washed away by His blood. We would love to assist you in that right now. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, if you have questions and concerns, come and talk to us later. But if we can help you right now, won't you come forward as we stand and as we sing together?